Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger. Today with us, we have Father Mark Toops. He's a priest of the Diocese of Ahuma-Thibodaux, where he serves the diocese as director of seminarians. In addition, Father Toops works for the Institute for Priestly Formation, specializing in communications, development, and spiritual direction. Today, we're talking with him about his latest book from Ascension Press, Rejoice, Advent Meditations with Mary. Welcome to the show, Father Mark.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you. I've been looking forward to our conversation. So always a joy to share the good news about what God's doing.
Oh, for sure. So to begin with, what is this journal all about?
Rejoice is a it's an Advent retreat, you might say, for those who want a little help finding the Lord in the midst of a very busy time of the year. I find that a lot of folks have a desire to find God in their preparation for Christmas, but sometimes it can be difficult just because life kind of speeds up at that time of year, or you don't know exactly what to do or how to focus. So Rejoice is really a resource to help people not only prepare for Christmas, but to prepare for Christmas with Mary, who is really the one who teaches us how to prepare as she prepared for the very first Christmas. So it's a resource that's almost like a retreat in a box, you might say, that helps you pray your way through Advent and get ready for Christmas.
So you touched upon it there a bit. Why is it important for us to observe Advent prayerfully rather than getting caught up in the consumerism of the season?
I think there's a difference between preparing for a day and preparing for a person. In other words, I find myself, even at this time of year, as we're talking now, very much attentive to the calendar. So we're getting ready for the physical day of Thanksgiving and the physical day of Christmas. And I think the temptation for a lot of folks is to focus on the day, December 25th. And if our only preparation is for the day, then our life is going to be no more changed on the 26th than it was on the 24th. So I think the importance is what we are preparing for determines how we prepare. So if we're preparing for the person of Jesus Christ at Christmas, obviously, then the way that we prepare in the Advent season is determined on who we're preparing for. And if we're preparing for a deeper encounter with the Lord at Advent, then that means that during Advent, we have to take steps, you might say, to open up our heart and to be intentional about making space for God so that when Christmas comes, that there's more room for us. So if folks really do want to have an impact or an encounter with the living God at Christmas, then that doesn't start on Christmas. That starts in Advent. That's why the church has given us the season. And I think that if we're really preparing for a personal encounter with God, then it helps us if we're preparing in a more personal way in Advent.
So in this Advent journey, why is it important for us to invite Mary into that journey with us?
I think for a lot of folks, at least for me, I'll just kind of tell you about my own journey with Mary. I grew up with Our Lady being very distant. you know, my mom and dad had a great reverence for Mary, a great devotion to the Blessed Mother. But as someone who was growing up in the church, she seemed way too distant, you might say. Her perfection, her sinlessness, all of that made her seem more unapproachable. And I couldn't relate as a sinner, as somebody mm-hmm. who falls. I could not relate to her. And so as I began to pray more and more, just with other aspects of spirituality, I kind of discovered her humanity, the humanity of the Annunciation, or the humanity of the Visitation, the humanity of her having that conversation with Joseph, and what we learn about his initial response in Matthew, and gosh, the journey to Bethlehem, that would have been a very human, you know, obviously experience with someone who is that far into her pregnancy and having to travel. So the more that I kind of came to discover the human aspects of Mary, the easier it was for me to relate to her, the easier it was for me to have a relationship with her. And of course, she's going to bring us to her son. And so strengthening our relationship with Mary is obviously going to only strengthen our relationship with Jesus. I think the second thing that is helpful is, you know, if I were going to do something and I wanted to do it really well, I would go to the expert. Mm. And if I didn't know how to fish, I would go find somebody who's an expert fisherman. And if I didn't know how to hunt, I'd find somebody who's an expert hunter. Well, who is it that is the master of preparing to give birth to Jesus? Well, that's a woman who gave birth to Jesus. So help me find the very first Advent and tell me what they did. And in the very first Advent, we find two beautiful people, Mary and Joseph, getting ready for Christmas, the very first Christmas. And if I can learn what they did as they were preparing for the first Christmas, then that can shine light on the way that we can prepare for Jesus at Christmas. So I think those two things just lend itself to developing a deeper relationship with Mary.
For sure. Now, this journal focuses on imaginative prayer. Can you share with us an overview of what that is? And then we can break down the separate stages and give people a better understanding of that.
Yeah. So we have physical senses, right? So we can see things, we can hear things, we can touch things and taste things. We have physical senses, and obviously there is a beautiful harmony between the body and the soul, right? So John Paul II himself said, right, that the body in it alone makes visible that which is invisible, right? So the body makes visible the soul. The soul and the body is this beautiful connection. And just like I have senses in my physical life, physical senses that help me see and hear, right, and touch, Origen in the Desert Fathers were the first to talk about that we have spiritual senses. I can see things with my heart or my soul, you might say. I can hear the voice of God, you might say. I have spiritual senses. Mm-hmm. And when our spiritual senses are connected to reality, connected to God, that is the healthiest use of the word imagination. Now, we're not talking about fantasy. Fantasy is not imagination. Fantasy is when we use our spiritual senses, and it's not connected to reality. But when I pray and I allow the Lord to guide my spiritual ears, my spiritual eyes, then I can see and hear the very things that are in the Bible. And so St. Ignatius of Loyola was probably the last, and he's the most well-known source, you might say, for imaginative prayer. And so imaginative prayer is when we actually jump into a scripture passage and we allow the Holy Spirit to help us see what did that scene look like. So, for example, if we're praying on the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem and we're walking with Mary and Joseph, well, you know, imaginative prayer actually takes us into that scene. What does it look like? What did it sound like? And we use our imagination to see and to hear and to feel those things. And it can become a very personal way of prayer. And I find that for a lot of people, Lectio Divina is very popular, mm-hmm. But I find that for a lot of people, imaginative prayer can be just as personal. And those scenes, as you're praying with them, as you're meditating on them, are going to take a different turn. So at some point, if I am the one walking with Mary on the journey to Bethlehem, well, she's going to start talking to me about my life. And of course, that's not in the actual physical text of the scriptures, mm-hmm. but that is just as much as inspired by God as anything. And so I just think that imaginative prayer as a spiritual director for 17 years, I just see that it can be a very personal way for people to pray and to encounter God and to be drawn into the reality of what Mary and Joseph would have been experiencing in their first Advent.
And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into some deeper discussion on what that steps of imaginative prayer are. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
As master singer-storyteller John Michael Talbot's music became more popular over the years, he began to immerse himself in the teachings of the contemplatives, mystics, and monastic fathers and mothers of the Christian tradition. Talbot eventually began sharing what he's learned between songs during his concerts. Lessons from a Troubadour gathers these parables, stories, and reflections into book form for the first time. Talbot's words open an important window into the understanding of the Catholic faith in holy and ordinary language. Check out Lessons from a Troubadour at AveMariaPress.com or look for it wherever books and ebooks are sold.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. Today we have with us Father Mark Toops. We're talking about his book from Ascension Press, which is actually a journal, Rejoice, Advent Meditations with Mary. And we left off last segment with an overview of what imaginative prayer is, and I'd like to break down the steps of that, Father Mark, so people understand what it is and can utilize it. And the first step, first we'll start with the acronym ARRR, and we're not being piratey here when we say that. It actually stands for acknowledge, relate, receive, and respond. So the first one, acknowledge. What can you tell us about that step?
Yeah, so maybe the easiest way for us to kind of walk through those steps is to actually maybe give you an example of what it would look like. So one of the meditations in Rejoice is going to be the Annunciation, right? So that's where the story of Christmas starts in the conception of Jesus. So as I'm praying with the Annunciation, the first thing I want to do is I want to acknowledge what's going on inside my heart in two ways. Number one, I want to acknowledge the presence of God in my midst. Catechism number 2567 says that God calls us first, and in prayer, the first thing that I do is respond to God who's already there. So I never have to lure God to pay attention to me. I never have to say the right words to get God's attention. Regardless of whether I feel God's presence or not, God's already there every time I pray. So I would want to acknowledge what's in my heart as I am in God's presence. You know, so if I'm feeling particularly busy that day, what's it like to be in the presence of God with my busy heart? Or if I'm feeling distracted and sinful that day, what's it like to be in the presence of God with a distracted and sinful heart? You know, so I need to be honest with where I am. My grandmother once said that the only place to start is to be where you are. You know, so I can't be somebody else and I can't be somewhere else if I'm going to pray. I have to begin where I am. I have to acknowledge what's really going on in my life as I'm in the presence of God. And then as I'm reading this scripture, I want to pay attention. I want to acknowledge what rises to the surface. So if there's joy that's there, if there's anticipation that's there, if there's questions that pop up, I need to make sure that I'm honest with what is beginning to come to the surface as I am in the presence of God. So when we talk about acknowledge, we talk about just being honest about and aware with all the things that are really going on in my heart.
And what comes next is relate. So how do we relate to what we've read?
So I often describe prayer as a seesaw, not a swing. Minimally, it only takes one person to swing. Now, you can have more than one person involved in that process, but minimally speaking, you only need one person to swing. However, minimally speaking, you have to have two people for a seesaw. If only one person jumps on a seesaw, that experience is going to be pretty fast. And so prayer, if if we understand what the Catholic Church teaches us about prayer, prayer is never a swing. That's what we call meditation, and that's a good thing that has a rightful place in the church, where I'm recollecting myself, where I'm using the gift of my intellect to think about something. But prayer is always a seesaw. It's always a response, a conversation, you might say, an encounter with another, and that's the person of God, right? So The second step after I acknowledge what's going on is I don't want to just ruminate in my own thoughts. I want to relate that to God. I want to tell God exactly what are the things that are happening in my heart, right? So I don't want to talk to me about me. I want to talk to God about me. I want to talk to God about my life. I want to actually relate everything in my heart to the person and the presence of God. So step one, I acknowledge what's cooking inside of my heart. And then I'm going to tell God all of that in step two, which is relate.
And step three is followed with receive. So how do we receive?
We listen, you might say. We listen and let God speak to us. And so that's what happened in the Annunciation, right? Mary, first of all, she acknowledged what was in her heart as she was in the presence of the angel. The scripture tells us in Luke that her heart was troubled at what sort of greeting this might be. Mary was honest about that. She acknowledged that, right? Then she related that to the angel. She actually said to God, hey, how can this be since I have no relations with a man? She didn't think about that on her own. She actually related that to God. And then the third step, she receives from God. The angel spoke back to her and said, hey, you know, don't be afraid because you know, God's going to bless you with this child, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's doing this. And God is going to speak back to us after we speak to God. And that might come through a voice that's in our head or our heart. That might come through a memory. We might be, quote unquote, led, maybe say, to a scripture passage, or maybe it's a song. But God's going to speak back to us, and we want to receive whatever God is going to say to us. Then we go back and forth between relating and receiving. It's what happens in human conversation, right, between two people, right? One person speaks, the other person listens, right? So we want to share our heart with the Lord, and then we want to receive what God is going to say back to us.
And then lastly, the fourth step is our response. How does that work?
Yeah, so there's always a response to the presence of God. You know, so Mary says yes, and that yes obviously is going to not only lead to the conceiving of divine life within her, but she's also going to leave in haste and go see Elizabeth, right? So God is no conversation with the Lord leaves us simply in the conversation. It always leads us to something else. So our response can be a greater act of faith. It can be a greater sense of trust. It can be something that God wants us to do or not do. But as we're in this acknowledging and relating and receiving, God is going to want us to respond to his presence, not only in the conversation, but once the conversation, you might say, has had its conclusion. So what is it that God's asking us to do or not do, you might say?
Mm-hmm. Now, the common thread amongst that whole four steps is that conversation with God. I think sometimes we have this, I don't know what the word I want to use is, but this misconception that God's this all-overseeing deity that we can't have a relationship with. So why is it important for us to cultivate that relationship and have that conversation with God?
Because, first of all, God wants it. That's the desire of the Lord. God didn't make us because he needed us. God made us because he wanted us. And that's a life-changing thing if you kind of wrap your mind around that. Secondly, not only is that because of what God wants, but that's how God made us. We were not made to live alone. I think that the line from Genesis that it's not good for man to be alone, it's not just about Eve, right? Because what preceded that Genesis was a line that said, let us make man in our image, right? Mm-hmm. And so not only is man made for Eve, but man's also made for the us. Man's made for God, man and woman, obviously. So it's important for us to develop a relationship with God because that's what it means to be a human being. It's what it means to live life in its fullest. And I think that if there's any listener who's wanting more out of life than what they're experiencing now, if there's any listener who just wants more direction, then that's going to be found ultimately in a relationship with the very author of life and the architect of their heart. So our relationship with God is essential because that's how God made us. And I think for a lot of us at this time of year, as we kind of speed up into a pace in life and a frenzy in life where life is just getting faster and more hectic and there's so much of a materialism bent, I actually think all of that accentuates the ache inside every person for something bigger than all that. And I think that if they can pay attention to the ache, it'll bring them to something that can only be fulfilled ultimately in a relationship with God.
Great, great advice there. We're going to take another quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
Are you married? I'd like to suggest that you often return to the fond and true memory of your spouse when you first met and on your wedding day. Well, he or she is still that same lovable person. Perhaps life has presented many challenges you did not expect back then, but you have come through these together. And the providential fire of your tribulations and your love has forged you into the one body you are today. And that is a beautiful thing. Never let anyone or any inferior thing tear you and your spouse asunder. God is one with you. He is love. Your marriage is love. And love endures whatever comes. It does not come to an end. See 1 Corinthians 13. I'm Jim Littleton of FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger. Today we're spending it with Father Mark Toops discussing his book/journal, Rejoice, Advent Meditations with Mary. And Father, I've got to get your insight on this. Journaling is popular. It's always been a common practice amongst my female friends, and it's often neglected by men. What benefits are there to journaling? And men, listen up.
Well, I think that while we're all wired differently, there are some things in us that are very much the same. I often hear men say that as they're in conversation with their wives, that their wives tend to think through words, think through talking, whereas men tend to think internally. But they both think. Mm-hmm. So just because they may process their thoughts differently, they both think. And likewise, even though journaling does get something on the inside out on the outside, right? It gets the words and the stuff of our spiritual life out on paper. To deny the importance of that would actually be to miss an opportunity to grow in our spiritual maturity. Memory is a pretty important thing. Even at Mass, every Mass we go to, the Eucharistic prayer invokes our memory for us remembering what God did for us. And I, as just a confessor who's heard a lot of confessions over 17 years, I would even lift up to the guys as they're listening that they are more susceptible to temptation once they have forgotten who they are and whose they are. Mm. So memory is a big thing. And until we discover a different way to do it, I just feel that there's no better way for us to remember what God has done in our life more than journaling. Now, I think the reason why journaling gets a bad rap is not because it's for men or women. It's because a lot of people misperceive journaling with, you know, writing a diary. Mm-hmm. Those are two different things, you know, but I don't know any man who would start a project around the house, who would grab his tools and who wouldn't put something on paper, right? Mm-hmm. He's not going to try to build a house from in memory. But yet, a lot of times we try to do the same thing in our spiritual life, right? Because we don't take seriously just the need to kind of put some things on paper. So journaling, especially in the way that I'm encouraging us to do it in Advent, it's not, you know, a diary. It's, hey, what were the key things that the Lord said to you? Let's put that on paper so we can have it in front of us. And then what happens is you're able to track the themes that begin to pop up in your spiritual life. You actually begin to see some of the things that God is saying to you and doing and how he's leading you. And it makes it easier for us in the moments where we don't hear God to be less tempted to believe that he's given up on us, because we can see some of the other things that he has said to us. So I just think it's important, because it's important for us to remember. And I think it offers direction in those moments when we don't hear God speak to us on that day. We can look back and see the very things that God has said to us in the past.
Mm-hmm. In the beginning of the journal, and it's the introduction is a great lead in on how to use it and journaling in general. And it is a great, great resource, by the way. One of the advantages of being a book reviewer is I can get my hands on this stuff ahead of time. One of the disadvantages is I'm going through an Advent book 3 weeks before it's ready to be used.
Yeah, sure.
You talk about the five W's for planning prayer time. And I think one of the really important things is we have to map that out and carve that time out. How can we effectively carve prayer time out of our hectic schedules?
I know no other way for us to do that than to be intentional about it. One of my favorite authors is a philosopher, Robert Johann, and he said that if what we want is to be wholehearted, then what we want must be connected to the rest of reality. In other words, I can want something, and I can want it kind of, you know, whimsically or spontaneously in my heart. But if I really want it, I'm going to take action. If I really want it, it's got to be connected to the rest of my life, right? So if I want to lose weight, I can't just think about that. I've got to make choices and decisions about it. I have not met as many people who don't have time as much as I have met people who haven't been intentional about their time. And so I think that it's not a matter of not having time. And I promise people that the time is there. And I say this with great love, and I say this with a lot of laughter. I haven't met a lot of people who are busier than me. You know, I'm busy just like everybody else. I'm not raising kids now, and I'm not, you know, fighting for my marriage. But, you know, the life of a pastor and the life of a priest is busy in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It's about where am I intentional? And I'm not saying that it has to be in the morning. I think a lot of people, you know, think that if I don't do it then I can't do it at all. No, I know lots of people who shave 15 minutes off of lunch, you know, and, mm-hmm. and they said, okay, I'm going to be intentional. So I'm going to carve just a little less time at my lunch break so that I can find some time to pray. I've met some people who the circumstances of life are such where, you know what, they go home 15 minutes later. And they stay at the office with their door closed, or they go to an adoration chapel or a church nearby or something. And in other words, it's about looking at our lifestyle and saying, okay, I'm going to make a stand and I'm just going to do it. And so, you know, whatever it is, everybody's life is different, but none of us are different in the fact that unless we're going to make a decision to do it, I just don't think it's going to happen in people's lives. So the time is there. I think it's a matter of taking the time to look for the time, if that doesn't sound too confusing, taking some time to look at when I'm going to do this. And even at this time of year, when things are busy, I still think that with some intentional decision-making and some intentional effort that we would all be able to find, you know, 10 minutes every day to begin to reflect upon what God is calling us to in Advent.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good overview of the when. You also touched on the where, had some interesting suggestions there that other people have done, you know, the office or an adoration chapel. I think sometimes people get hung up on that where, like it has to be this really secluded place somewhere in their home, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that, does it?
No, I tell people that there's a difference between a quiet and solitude, you know. So just because, you know, you're at the office and the door's closed at 5 o'clock and it's not a retreat center and it's not a church, it doesn't mean that it can't be quiet. I think quiet is what you need, even if you can't get the solitude of a monastery or a church or a retreat center. Quiet is what we need. So that's the first thing, I think, is just the lack of distraction. Or, you know, the home might be quiet and early morning might be quiet, but if you find yourself distracted with kids, you know, running around, or if you find yourself distracted with just your mind racing, when maybe that's not the best place for that. So I think the first thing that's necessary for the place is just, where are you going to find the quiet? And then I think the second thing that's necessary for the right place is, where are you unhindered? And I think this is an important thing for people. I was just directing a retreat for a friend of mine who was really just being moved by the Lord as he was praying. God brought up something really personal in his life, and he was just moved to tears. And he found himself in an adoration chapel with about 20 other people around him, and he didn't feel free to do it, if that makes sense, to follow through. Yeah, I think that's another thing that we want to take into consideration. If we're not free in the space to let God do what he wants to do in our life, then that's another thing that needs to be taken into consideration. And I would say this, as people struggle for the place, the where, God wants us more than you do. And so there is no difficulty of finding the place that God can't offer a solution for. So trust that God wants it more than you do, and then ask him to show you where he's calling you to pray.
The next one is the what, and that's a big question. What are Jesus and I going to do together? Obviously, you know, your journal, Rejoice, is a good what to spend that time with. What other possibilities are there for that time with Jesus?
Well, I think, you know, the gift of the Advent retreat that we've provided through Ascension, mm-hmm. is that it does give you something to pray with day in, day out. And I think that's a great gift. But what are people going to do on Christmas Day, you know, and afterwards? You know, I believe that that is as personal as the prayer is. But I am a big fan of prayer somehow involving the scriptures. That's just me as a disciple and of the Lord, and as a son of God. But I have to say that as a priest of 17 years who's done a lot of spiritual direction, I find it hard to start. And so people sit down and they just start talking. And sometimes we needed something to focus on, so that instead of talking to God about us and some of the more mundane or irrelevant things, that God can center us to maybe some of the more important things. So I'm a big fan of somehow allowing the scripture to be a part of our prayer, right? God's already spoken to us in the Word of God. So how can what he has already said continue to speak to us? And there are lots of ways that people can find scripture passages one day at a time, whether it's the daily mass readings, of course, that would be great. You know, sequentially going through the gospels or other resources that are out there. But I would not encourage people to open up the Bible and do a little biblical roulette, you might say. I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to open up to wherever I am, and you're in need of God, and all of a sudden you land in Leviticus and nothing makes sense, you know. So I don't think that any of us would say, I'm hungry, let me just walk into the pantry with my eyes closed and grab a can of peas or tuna, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we're intentional about the other things, so I tell people, you know, you should have the passage that you're going to pray with before you pray. If not, you're going to spend too much time trying to find the right passage, or there's going to be too much anxiety on the front end hoping that you find the right passage. So if they're going to be praying with the scripture passage, the daily mass readings, going through the gospels, the psalms, or other resources that are out there are great places to start.
All right. We're going to come back. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll wrap up our conversation today with Father Mark Toups about his book, Rejoice, Advent Meditations with Mary. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way: buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land gift shop, bringing the Holy Land and home.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. We've been spending the day with Father Mark Toups discussing his book from Ascension Press, Rejoice, Advent Meditations with Mary. One quick thing I have to mention is Ignatius Press's new program called the Ignatius Book Club, where they have partnered with leading publishers to bring book clubs with wholesome books and educational materials to schools for all reading levels and interests. To learn more, visit ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast. And Father Mark, we have two more W's to cover. The one being who, and that is who is going to hold us accountable for this time we spend with Jesus. And that accountability, I think, is pretty important, because if we don't have that, we're not going to follow through.
Absolutely. I think that especially this time of year, it can speak to us about the reality of that, insofar as as we land the plane with the holidays, we're gonna eventually find ourselves parked on January 1st, and everybody's making those New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. And my question to all the listeners would be, when's the last time you actually stayed engaged with a New Year's resolution past February? And if you did, I bet you had somebody in it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or how many of us, if we're just honest with ourselves, come charging out the gate on Ash Wednesday, fired up about our Lent penance, and we turn around on the fourth Sunday of Lent, and we're like, man, what happened? And for those Lents where people have been focused and disciplined, and they've had a great Lent, I'm going to bet that they had somebody walking with them. And I just think that that's human nature. Jesus sent them out two by two. The early Christian community in Acts chapter 2, they were walking this thing together. And so I really do believe that if we're going to stay committed and grow in spiritual maturity, we can't do it alone. And that doesn't mean you have to have a spiritual director or a guru walking with you. Sometimes it can just be your spouse or a sibling, a best friend, maybe somebody from church, or just somebody who's on the journey themselves. And you're going to give them permission to say, hey, how many times a week did you pray this past week? Or were you able to stay focused with the resolution that you made? I haven't met anybody in my 17 years of priesthood who is really sustaining momentum in the spiritual life by themselves. From the holiest priests and nuns that I've met to the most profound moms and dads out there, we all need somebody walking with us. And if we don't have somebody holding us accountable, I just think it's too easy for us to lapse back into making excuses for ourselves.
And then the last one I thought was a very intriguing question. Why am I prioritizing my time with Jesus?
Absolutely. I think asking that question just reminds us what are the most important things in life. Obviously, the answer to the question is because it's the most important thing that I'm going to do all day. But I think that why am I prioritizing my time with Jesus? It's important for us to have that question in front of us because we're asking all kinds of other questions throughout the day, right? So we're always comparing this option to the other option. I often laugh with guys. You know, we kind of spoke to guys earlier. I often tell guys that most men struggle from what we call FOMO, which is the fear of missing out, right? Mm. So men, I think in today's culture, like to keep their options open, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm afraid of missing out on something. And so here comes a priority in my life, whatever it is, my kids, my marriage, my job. And here comes another option. And so I'm always comparing one option to the next option. Now, that doesn't mean we're always choosing the lesser. It just means that we are always confronted with options that are bouncing up against our commitments in life. So when I ask myself, why am I prioritizing my relationship with God? It's because there are other questions that are bumping up against that question that are competing with it being the most important priority in my life. And I often say, in marriage prep that there comes a day when you come to a breakthrough, even in your marriage, when you realize that your own spouse can't fulfill every desire that you have, And the only person who can ultimately fulfill every desire in a life is God, and that's what is waiting for us in heaven, but he's given us a glimpse of that on earth. So if I'm asking myself, why am I prioritizing my relationship with God, I'm actually just paying attention to my priorities in life in general. And I would say this, that I haven't met many people who have God as number one where the other priorities don't fall in line also.
That's a good point.
So if I want to safeguard all the other things that are important in life, it's almost like you start with the most important one and it kind of grounds the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, we alluded to this a little bit earlier in our conversation, but, you know, that was the point of when it comes to journaling, you have to start. So if someone chooses to start this Advent with Rejoice, and I highly recommend they do, it's a very structured book that leads them through the 4 weeks daily of Advent. Where do they go after that book? I mean, if they've built that experience of that time with Jesus and the Lord through this book, where do they go from there? What's the next thing they can do to continue this habit that they formed over 4 weeks?
Let me answer that question in three different ways. The first is every time that I encounter God, which is what prayer is, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about. How do we keep the prayer going? Every time that I encounter God, I am a limited, finite, mortal creature encountering the infinite, vast, the limitless God. Even as good or powerful as any singular prayer experience is, I'm never able to totally receive every possible ounce of grace that God wants to give me. Even in the best prayer experience, you might say I'm a shot glass standing under Niagara Falls. You know, I can't contain all of that water. I can't contain or receive all that grace. So that means that even after Advent's over, I might return back to moments during the Advent journey where I especially felt God's closeness to see if there's more coming from that waterfall, you might say. So let's say it's the second week of Advent and somebody's praying with the resource and they come into this beautiful story of how Mary had to talk to Joseph and gosh, Joseph decides to divorce her quietly and all the emotions that stirred in Mary's heart there. And there's this great insight about waiting with God as we wait for God. And that they just really are drawn to like, wow, I need to wait with God because I'm waiting for some other blessings in my life. Well, they might, after Christmas is over, go back to that meditation to see if God is still speaking to them about waiting and how they wait. You know, so the first thing I would say is go back to the meditations within the Rejoice resource that spoke to you the most and see if there's more there for you. And I, every time I do that, I always find that there's more. The second is, and not to you know push programs here, but there is a great resource through Ascension called Oremus. That's Latin for "Let us pray," and it's the same concept. I did that because I just found that a lot of people didn't know how to pray or keep it going, and so the exact very thing that you're asking is what we produced through Ascension. It's called Oremus, Latin for "Let us pray," and it's an 8-week resource that teaches you further the basics of prayer, teaching you things that you won't get in Rejoice. That's 8 weeks, and there's a journal that goes with that, and there's scripture passages for every day. And so that'll take you on an 8-week journey, an 8-week retreat. And then I do believe that, thanks be to God, I just believe that there are better resources out there today than ever for Catholics. And I say that as a Catholic pastor who is always looking for great resources. You know, I think some of the things that Ascension produces are great. I think they're great for parishioners. I think they're great for parishes. And so with the other resources from Ascension or from other, you know, publishers, I think it's phenomenal. But, you know, I think that you could probably go in the Ascension world and find as many resources as you would desire to kind of help you go along. So it's out there. It just requires some intention on it to keep it going.
Right. So Father Mark, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day and spending it with us. Where can people find your book, Rejoice, Advent Meditations with Mary?
I would imagine that they're probably listening right now and they may not have a pen handy. So how about they just Google Ascension and Rejoice? And it'll take them to the website right there. So if they just Google Rejoice, Advent, and Ascension Press, it'll take them to the Ascension website. And they'll be able to find all the information they need about not only the journal, but also the video resource that goes with that and other ways that they can either do it as a parish or as a Bible study group or as an individual. So everything they need is right there on the website.
Great. Well, that's all we have time for today. Father Mark, thanks again for spending with us. Any closing thoughts?
No, I just encourage folks to let this be the best Advent they've ever had. And if we want to have a great Christmas, that starts with Advent. So check out Rejoice and let your heart be drawn into Mary.
Excellent. With that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.